Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11.
Kira, where do we start with this week of
I know. I know. And look, Jen Gannon was on with the Louise earlier on, and they were talking about obviously the rumours surrounding Kim and Kanye and their impending divorce, because it was announced during the week, among many, many other things that happened in the world, that Kim and Kanye were to divorce, which
Are
I was
they,
very...
I thought they weren't getting divorced then. I thought they were in some type of counselling. You're going to have to fill me in.
Yeah, there's no smoke without fire. It's kind of been announced. The Kardashians don't allow that sort of news to make it out, Chris, unless there is a smidgen of truth to it, do you know?
Sure.
And it made me sad, but it also made me think about the last 7 years of Kim and Kanye and the ridiculous presents that Kanye gave Kim over the course of their marriage and their courtship. Do you want to go through it?
Oh, okay. So, because there have been some wild gifts that you and
there
I have covered
before.
There
has been some wild
tasteless gifts.
Yeah. We'll start with something mild, okay? So, one time, Kanye gave Kim an engraved Cartier necklace with a text message he had sent her on it, okay?
That's kind of romantic.
Yeah, it is kind of romantic, but it was a text message of a photo. So, he literally took the photo and what he wrote and put it on a Cartier necklace. Now, the message said, "This is your life. Married with four kids. Get people out of jail. Cover of Vogue. Go to church every week with your family. Dreams come true." Now, Chris, I think he probably could have left maybe two of those sentences out, in fairness.
Why?
Maybe get people out of jail and cover a Vogue. I don't know.
But because that's her humanitarian work, isn't it?
It is. It is what she's trying to do with her humanitarian
sure.
work. Yeah. But like, it's a very long text message to put on a necklace, in my opinion.
Kira writer's rooming the text message. Yeah, we could lose, get out of people out of jail. I don't know if it's landing.
No,
cover
but it's
Vogue,
get
if we need
people
that.
Out of jail. I don't know.
Getting people. Kira, you're being very harsh. This is one of the more romantic ones.
I do. I understand. Yeah, that is very true, actually.
Jesus.
I understand. But anyway. Okay, then for one birthday, Kanye got Kim a Hermes bag, right? Yeah. And he let their daughter North paint on the Hermes bag, which you might go, oh my God, that's so cute. And it is very, very sweet. And, you know, Angelina Jolie married Brad Pitt and she had the handprints of all her kids smattered all over her wedding dress. So celebrities seem to be into this. But Chris, the Hermes bag cost about $10,000. Would you really want your kids scribbling all over a bag that's worth $10,000? Maybe when you're that rich, it doesn't matter.
I saw the bag. It's god awful. Like if there was some type of artistic flair to it, it might be kind of cool and kooky. It looks terrible.
Then there was one Christmas Kanye gave Kim a box of stocks to companies like Netflix, Apple, Adidas and Disney. That's actually kind of a cool present.
Oh, hell yeah. That's great. I'd take
because,
that. That's fantastic.
He gave her 920 shares of Disney stock alone and that's worth approximately $100,000. That's not a bad present.
Yeah, that's fine.
Of course, as Jen Gannon was saying earlier on, Kanye introduced the wall of flowers as a gift when he got her for one Mother's Day, a literal wall of roses and hydrangeas. Do you remember that? It was kind of...
Yeah, but these are romantic.
That's
a very
romantic.
Healthy relationship here, Kira. I don't know what happened to these two.
Yeah, I know.
That's all very thoughtful.
Another Mother's Day, Kanye gave Kim a surprise orchestra in their living room.
Yeah.
I do remember that as well. That was pretty cool in fairness, like, do you know? Another Mother's Day, he sent her a couple of thousand roses.
That's all fine. Let's be fair here, Kira. We can catalogue when the problem started. We all know the gift that signals the end of this relationship, Kira. As far as I'm concerned.
Then there was the time that Kanye gave Kim the gift of Kenny G in a room full of single roses in vases. Now, it looked aesthetically beautiful. And that was a Valentine's Day. That was a Valentine's Day gift.
Yeah.
Then when she became a billionaire, Kanye made a still life and he posted it on his Twitter. The still life looks like two green peppers, a flower and a tomato, which was very weird. But
that was
so
actually
creative.
Worse than what the daughter drew, I have to say. Kanye's still life was far worse. And the kid actually made a better job.
Lastly,
here we
for
go,
Kim's
Kira.
40th birthday.
This is where the problem was clearly rearing its head.
Kanye got her a hologram of her deceased father. Put on Twitter at the time, "For my birthday, Kanye got me the most thoughtful gift of a lifetime. A surprise, a special surprise from heaven. A hologram of my dad. It is so lifelike. We watched it over and over, filled with emotion. I can't even describe what this meant to me and my sisters, my brother, my mom and closest friends experienced together. Thank you so much, Kanye, for this memory that will last a lifetime." And then she gave a closer up detail of the actual hologram, which we all remember last October, because Kim's 40th birthday happened to fall on my 30th birthday. that we watched it and we were like, what the hell was that?
Kira, let's be fair here. No matter how much I was in love with someone, no matter how enamored you were with anyone on the planet, if they got a relative, if they got a hologram for you of a reanimated dead relative, I don't care what intentions they had. I don't care how much you understand and love and can intuit this person. That would terrify me if somebody did that.
Horrendous. Yeah. Absolutely horrendous.
Why, and anyway, she's like, oh my God, it was amazing. That's when the problem started, as far as I'm concerned.
Terrified. There you go. There, and that, they're just the some of the presents that we know that Kim Kardashian has shared on her Twitter and her Instagram and her social. I hope that the two make it through. I do, because I do believe that Kim Kardashian does love Kanye and that Kanye loves Kim. But I think that Kanye has been sick, you know, and he has said it himself, and it's been well documented. And I hope that he gets better, and I hope that they stay together, you know?
100%. Absolutely. And you're right here, because Kanye is sick. People forget that sometimes. And it's sad to see when the real memeing starts on him, because sometimes he's a man who's going through periods where he's very unwell, if you understand.
Yeah,
absolutely. I hear you. I hear you. Listen, Kira, I just want them to stick together so we have more kooky gifts to talk about in the future.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm hoping for. But look, Kanye and Kim, from another Irish power couple, Kira and I, we wish you guys the best, because, you know, Kira and I, we're definitely the equivalent of Kanye and Kim in Ireland, Kira, as far as I'm concerned. So we're sending them our good vibes and everything.
Do you know what, Chris?
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about Bridgerton. Well, 63 million people have watched Bridgerton on Netflix or whatever. But aside from all the gorgeous actors that are actually in that series, have you watched it yet, Chris, actually?
Can I ask you a question about Bridgerton now?
So I don't think you'd like it.
Bridgerton is on Netflix, right?
As
far as I'm aware. So I saw lots of people on Twitter and stuff saying, oh my God, season whatever, episode whatever of Bridgerton is all out porn. And I thought to myself, really, is it? So I actually went on my Netflix and I went to whatever episode. And I went to whatever episode they were talking about. And it's, I was thinking to myself, is this what people, like, sure, there's some passionate kissing in it. But like, I'd hardly call it. You're all very prudish if you think Bridgerton is out there or like risky or sexual.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's that people are just fascinated because, you know, over the last year, not a lot of people have been having what they're having in Bridgerton, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, sure. I get it. But like, do you get my point? Like people...
I do.
What I was seeing on Twitter was, oh my God, this is hardcore porn. It's really not. It's some very tame Victorian or whatever the hell it said,
anyway,
kissing. Like,
sorry, we completely got off the point because the Maroon 5 girls like you, because they do amazing versions of pop songs but with string quartets.
Who does? Bridgerton.
In the soundtrack of Bridgerton. Yeah,
what?
It's amazing. Yeah.
So in Bridgerton they're playing, we'll say, Girls Like You, but in the style of the music at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they do Taylor Swift, Wildest Dreams,
what?
Ariana Grande, Thank You Next. Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh.
It's absolutely amazing.
When is Bridgerton set?
1813,
oh,
I think.
Right.
High Society, London.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. I have to say.
Chris, watch it from the start, even though I really...
No, but I was just looking for exciting nudity and stuff, and I actually went to check out what people were talking about. I was like, this is...
Well, you obviously watched the wrong episode. Anyway.
No, I didn't.
Chris, have you thrown out your Christmas tree?
Yes, and these people who keep it up, and these people who are doing that whole, let's keep it up until March, are weird. Get it out of the house. There's something wrong with all of you. It's time to put that away.
Well,
No, it's weird.
Traditionally, you know, all the decorations and whatnot should be down by the 6th of January.
Sure.
The 12 days of Christmas runs from Christmas Eve up until the 6th of January, and then really is the time to take down your decorations.
100%.
So I took down all my decorations on Women's Christmas, and I had a little fake tree this year. I didn't have a real tree, but those that have real trees, I came across this woman, she's got a recipe book, and there's something for everything now, Chris, isn't there?
Sure.
There's just something for everything. And the way I feel about people wanting to eat their Christmas trees is the way I'd feel about people wanting to eat their pets. You know,
absolutely. It's
the
weird.
Christmas tree is very symbolic. You know, it goes up once a year. It's associated with a happy time, a special time, a family time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, a woman has created a recipe book.
Yeah.
And it's all about sustainability and how instead of throwing out your Christmas tree, because in fairness, like an estimated 25 to 30 million Christmas trees are sold in the United States alone every year for Christmas, you know? So
yeah, great,
but then throw
them out. Like, I mean, you don't need to eat them. Do you know what I mean? Like, great, they serve their purpose. Eating them is just unnecessary.
So if you are worried about the carbon footprint of buying a real tree, well, there's ways that you can recycle it, Chris, once the Christmas is over.
Not worried
so
at all about
lady,
that.
So this lady, her name is Julia Jorgalis, and she started this project in a kitchen with her friend in 2015, and they decided to try out a couple of recipes to do with the Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And what ended up was she released a cookbook about basically how to eat your Christmas tree.
I see.
Now, what it comes down to is all about the fir, the spruce, and, you know, the pine. Okay, and so she explains the different flavors that pine, fir, and spruce trees will bring to your food. Can you believe it, Chris? Fir is actually really zesty and really grassy.
Wow, I can't wait to try it in something. Mm. That's so
now,
exciting.
Chris, open your mind for just 2 seconds. Spruce is going to got a more orangey feel to it. Uh-huh. And believe it or not, some other spruce that can be used in ice cream can actually give it a vanilla taste. Isn't that amazing?
Oh my God, I have the book open here in front of me. Like I have a sample of it. Like, mm-hmm. God almighty. A Christmas tree is a crop, just like an apple or an orange. Whether you're going to inject... Oh my God. Kira, this woman... I don't want to eat the Christmas tree. I want to throw the Christmas tree out.
So obviously pine, which would be the normal Christmas tree that all of us would have, it doesn't taste like it smells pine. It's actually very delicate and almost floral.
But it smells like bathroom cleaner. So already I'm like, no, because it smells like the bleach we all use in our toilets. So already I have a very negative association.
Wait a second. You associate the bleach that we use in our toilets to the traditional smell of a Christmas tree in your sitting room.
They're pine smell.
Oh dear.
Do you not though, like a lot of the bleaches smells like a Christmas tree or a car air freshener.
There's some very interesting recipes. Did you know that you could cure fish? It's wonderful for starters or breakfast. And also what you can do is you can kind of, you know the way...
I can cure fish with my Christmas tree.
As in like cure it.
No, I understand. Cure it. Yeah. But how? Yeah. How do I do that?
Well, Chris, it's very simple. All you need to do is get about 350 grams of fir or spruce needles.
Okay, cure it. This is very exciting because, of course, Kira, it is the first Kira's Diary of 2021. Kira, do you know what's...
It is 2021, Chris.
Do you know what is so terrifying? I was just thinking there. We started this. We revived Kira's Diary. We revived the essence, the spirit of teenage Kira nearly a year ago. Like, it's coming up on a year.
I know. And I think everybody feels the same way about the fact that March is in, like, what, 2 months? And it's kind of when it all started for us. But look, here we are.
Jesus.
You know, about to start another year. We're wiser.
Yeah, sure.
Do you know who isn't wiser, though? And that is teenage Kira, Chris.
I see very little character development in teenage Kira, which, listen, is great for us. Not so great for teenage Kira, but, of course, fantastic for our entertainment, of course. So, Kira, what is going on in Kira's diary this week? What's happening?
Obviously, teenage Kira is in sixth year. So if you're watching the news this week, there was a lot of, are they going back to school? Yes, they are going back to school for 3 days. Actually, they're not going back to school. So as you can imagine, teenage Kira had washed all her favorite masks for the 3 days a week. And then obviously she found out that they were going back online. Also, Kira's grandmother, her granny, has been causing controversy in the village as she vies to be the first old person in the village to get the vaccine. And she does it in untoward ways.
Oh my goodness. Well, listen, all very exciting stuff. And what a disruption to Kira's life, not getting to wear those masks she washed. But listen, on the way for you as well, we have new Ryan Mack with She Wins, I Lose and Little Mix Sweet Melody first, though. Another thrilling installment of Kira's Diary.
Dear Diary, Happy New Year, I think. The way everyone is going on, you'd swear that the world was ending again, and it's only January 7th. It seems to me that the adults are just all arguing with each other on the internet about who's wrong and who's right and the government are this and the cases are that, but it really hasn't got us anywhere, has it? But don't worry, I have something to help this all go away in three little words, and they are Reggie Jean Page. Yes, your diary, or as others might know him, Simon, the Duke of Hastings. Am I talking about a fictional character in a TV show that may or may not be streaming on Netflix right now? Yes, I am. Bridgerton. It's literally the best TV show I've seen since Normal People. You know the way all those annoying plebs posted about what they learned about themselves in 2020 on their social media? Well, I'll tell you what I learned, and that's not to watch an unknown TV show with your parents. I learned that the hard way last April with Normal People. So having read on Twitter not to watch this with adults, obviously I took myself up to my bedroom with a pair of tissues, just in case I cried, and I binge-watched the hell out of it. Now I know why more than 64 million people have watched the show. And let me tell you something, 60 more million people must be thirsty AF, because it was just full of sex, like loads of it. There's this one scene where Simon, the Duke of Hastings, licked the back of a spoon, and I almost fell out of the bed with lust. And all he did was lick a spoon. He's so hot, like every time he came on screen, I almost died and had to be buried. He did spend a lot of time under the Duchess's skirt. He was obviously looking for something. The Duchess didn't seem to mind. So I really hope he finds what he was looking for. Aside from that, I got myself back into the zone for heading back to school after the holidays. And then this week, the adults couldn't decide whether we would head back or not. Then we were heading back for 3 days a week, so I made my mum wash my three favourite masks, only to discover that we weren't going back and my mask was barely out of the dryer. Like, make up your mind. This is our lives that you're messing with. We've had to deal with all of this, plus the thought of studying for our leaving cert and not knowing when we're going to be physical with another human being again. These lockdowns are taking their toll. It is with a sad heart that I reveal to you that Rebecca and Johnny Limp's romance has indeed not survived the latest lockdown. Sad heart, my total arse. They both came to the mutual decision that their relationship could not survive not seeing each other again, as both of them have run out of original ideas to keep their love alive while apart. So they consciously uncoupled at the end of the Christmas holidays. I think they're being a bit dramatic, in fairness. Like, we'll probably be back in school by February. Lucy told me to hold off on saying anything negative to Rebecca about Johnny Limp, which would be really hard as I think he is such a dose. I decided to bite my tongue until I was talking to Rebecca on the phone and she started comparing herself and Johnny Limp to the potential marriage breakup of Kim and Kanye, and I had to pretend that my signal was gone and I hung up. Lucy doesn't even have time to bitch about Johnny Limp with me, as she's too busy trolling the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, and writing strongly worded letters to the Department of Education on top of that. She really doesn't have to be such a martyr all the time. Speaking of being a martyr for the people, my granny really surprised and upset her this week when she offered herself up for a place in the local nursing home. We were all really upset because we didn't think that granny was old enough or sick enough to go into a nursing home, but the local priest had alerted her to a bed that recently had been vacated and she took it. Dad went down to help her move and it was a really horrible afternoon. Until Dad came back, that is, and informed us that the only reason that Granny had moved into the nursing home was because she had heard a rumour that the residents were to be vaccinated as early as next week. And instead of waiting around, she decided to grab the bull by the horns and move in. She assured my father that it was a surefire way of her finally making it onto the front of the Irish Times newspaper, or at least the RTE News. She also told him that she would go down in history as the first woman in the village to get the vaccine because, according to herself, some of the other residents owe her money from the illegal shebeen that she was running during the summer, so she is going to blackmail them to bunk herself up to the top of the list. The absolute balls of her. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little impressed. Anyway, I better go to bed here. 2021 has been a lot to process so far. Goodbye, dear diary. Love, Kira. I had a bit of an incident in the bathroom earlier on, though. I was swishing mouthwash in my mouth and I sneezed.
Oh, no.
So it looks like Shrek just sneezed all over my bathroom.
You're going to have to clean that up later, Kira. You're going to
spend
the afternoon cleaning that up. Because if anyone comes over, no one's going to come over either, I suppose. You could leave it for weeks.
No one's going to come over. But I've never done that before. I've never sneezed while swilling mouthwash in my mouth. So that's a new one for me.
Kira, given that we're discussing this and we hadn't planned to, I do have a question for you. You know when you're using mouthwash, right? And I don't know if this is just me. Do you kind of find the burn weirdly satisfying? Like, you know the burn you get from mouthwash?
Because then I feel like it's just like burning all the bacteria out of my mouth.
Like, because I don't know. Because I've said that to people before, and they're like, "Oh no, you should use like a more gentle mouthwash for your mouth." I'm like, "No. I like the burn,
like,
man. Do you know what I mean?
Hardcore.
Yeah.
And like around my tonsils and like my throat, and then it comes back up again.
Yes.
You know. So
I feel like Trump. You know the way he said he drinks the bleach or whatever to cure the coronavirus. That's how I feel. Like, I feel like it's literally scouring my mouth for any type of. All right. So I'm not the only one. That's fair.
It was one of those horrible moments where I could feel myself about to sneeze, but I also knew that my mouth was full of mouthwash, and I was like, "Oh no!"
Did you swallow the mouthwash?
No.
Could it be that you're
drunk,
Kira? Is that why you're in such good form now? Could it be the mouthwash has made you a little merry? Is that what we're experiencing?
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think that is it.
All right, anyway,
look, Kira, I really do need to get your insight on this. So, what is going on with you, and what do you have firstly against us men who wear shorts in colder climates, Kira? That's what I want to know firstly. I want to get to the
I guess
of this.
I don't understand it, because, you know, a lot of research obviously has been done over the years, Chris. I'm not going to get into it, about how women feel cold more than men. Now, it's very physiological. It's got a lot to do with hormones. It's got a lot to do with men having more muscle mass than women. It's science, okay? So I accept that, and that's fine. And, like, you know, there's so many couples out there, like, that men go mad when a girl puts her feet on a man in bed.
Sure.
Because men are like, Jesus, they're like blocks of ice.
Sure. And you're doing that, of course, to get warmth from the man, because we're just naturally warmer and, you know, we're kind of, you know, the blanket, essentially, because we seem to feel cold a different way. Sure. No, I get all of that.
you know, obviously now it's very, very cold out there and there's a touch of frost and, you know, snow in particular parts of Ireland. We are in January, of course. So, and I've thought about this because, like, I went swimming on Christmas Day and it was freezing. Like, it was freezing. And sure. I couldn't wear my wetsuit because nobody else is wearing their wetsuit. So I would stand out like a sore thumb. So I didn't wear my wetsuit. And actually, it probably worked out better for me because it would have been a pain in the ass me trying to get that wetsuit off after coming out of the water. And I probably would have ended up more cold.
Yeah, of course. And you have to peel it off you and everything. It would have been no fun. Also, Kira, you would have looked like a dork if you're there in the wetsuit and everyone else
know,
is like running around in bikinis and stuff. You
I haven't had the chance to wear my wetsuit yet. Anyway, that's another thing. But I've just noticed, and this is like across the board, and somebody has actually texted in, it starts at a very, very young age as well, because Emer has texted in to say that, Kira, you can include my 5-year-old boy in your study. I had to take his shorts and hide them at the end of October because we were having daily fights over wearing them. He also refuses to wear long sleeves. Nightmare with his school uniform.
Yes.
Emer, I can only imagine.
Emer, I like your 5-year-old son. He's my boy. I like that. I'm exactly the same as him. I haven't grown out of it.
Guess aesthetically, Chris, when we're in the winter months, you're told to wrap up, you're told to put on a scarf, a jacket, you know, to keep yourself warm and to ward off any colds or anything like that, especially this year.
Sure.
And then you guys are just walking around in a pair of shorts and flip-flops.
Yes.
I don't get it, Chris.
Aesthetics, Kira. I'm not worried about aesthetics when I'm dressing myself. I'm not dressing myself for the eyes of any man
sure.
or woman, Kira. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, I know that, Chris.
Absolutely.
Having known
you ever
for,
seen
yeah.
me? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so Kira, let me say something to you here, because and you're saying that this is based on your kind of anecdotal observations that you've seen a lot of men over the last, we'll say colder months, the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Hey, what's new there? Right, no, but you've seen a lot of men over the last 6 months wearing what you would say they're inadequately dressed because it's too cold and you see people like me wearing shorts and your friend wearing shorts and stuff and Emer's 5-year-old son who since October has, you know, had his shorts taken away from him, his shorts privileges. Kira, I can't really explain it. I think it's to do with comfort, and also shorts are good times, Kira. Do you not see what I'm?
I think there's a
psychological thing there as well. I think shorts are when you're on holidays. Shorts are when things are easy. Shorts
Chris,
are for when you're relaxed.
I've got a fabulous pair of swimming togs that, you know, the last time I wore them was by a pool in Spain about a year and a half ago. But like, I'm not going to be rocking around into the radio studio wearing them.
Kira, you should parade around in them. All the time. Everyone would love it. It would lighten the place up, just like me in my shorts. You know, I think it would be wonderful. The only thing I'll say, Kira, to you is because I have noticed, like, if I post anything on the internet that happens to include even just a bit of me, people will go, wait, is that shorts? Are you wearing a shorts and a t-shirt? And the answer is yes, Kira, because...
Okay, but can I ask you, though, do you not feel... Okay, and I get that, but do you not feel the cold then on top of that?
Weirdly, Kira, maybe this is like some type of masochism, I don't know. The cold is nice. You know, there's a certain bracing energy to the cold. Like, did you say you went for a socially distant walk with a man wearing shorts recently?
Yeah.
Kira, it's amazing. Good for him. I tell you something, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like the bracing, refreshing, invigorating feel of the cold everywhere, if you understand me, Kira. It's very, really wakes you up.
But the cold is piercing, though, Chris.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's piercing right into your bones.
That's right. Absolutely. And we
51552, please, somebody explain this phenomenon to me, because I really don't understand it. And I've been, as I said, watching it unfold over the last couple of years. Why, if there's men out there, please, along with Chris, tell me why you wear shorts and t-shirts, even though the temperatures are sub-zero.
Okay, Kira,
51552.
I hear you, but I'll say one thing to you. Okay, I'll just say one more thing to you on this. Can you not at least try and empathize with me here? Because I've often seen all this stuff on Twitter when girls say things like, oh, it's great when you take your bra off after a long day. Now, Kira, I've never worn a bra, and I've never taken one off after a long day, but I can still see where they're coming from. Can you not at least try and see where we're coming from here, Kira? I mean,
do you feel that way when you take off shorts at the end of a cold day?
No, it's not. What I'm saying is it's a sensation that maybe you can't ever experience, but that you have to at least try and see from our perspective. I'll never take a bra off after a long day and, you know, let everything just hang out and take off heels and a bra and get home and blah, blah, blah. But I can still see why you guys would like it. Do you understand me, Kira? I'm trying to see it from your perspective. That's all. But listen, guys, please back me up here. 51552. I feel Kira is, even after my very, what I think is articulate explanation to Kira, still nothing. So
it's
I don't
not
know.
Really.
Kira, it has everything and it's comprehensive. Maybe you just are refusing
to
see it from our side.
You like the cold because you're masochists. That's what I'm getting from this conversation.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, if you want to break it down, maybe if you want to give a very quick summation, that's exactly it. We heard from friend of the show Crown, by the way. And Kira, just to give everyone context, friend of the show Crown, his name is Rasmus. He listens online from Sweden and uses Twitter to get in contact with us. So bear in mind, he's in Malmo in Sweden, I think, where it's like minus 50 degrees. And he says, in terms of wearing shorts and a t-shirt, I can easily wear shorts because my legs don't really get cold. And this is a man who's basically living in the Arctic Circle, Kira, and he's able to wear shorts.
Okay, do you know what? Chris, we'll get to more of the text messages after the break.
Yeah, absolutely, Kira. I'm just saying. I really need to start off with a strong
like
one there.
This isn't the end of it.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not saying it is. I'm not using Crown to just... But like Malmo temperature now, I just want to see... It's currently like 0 degrees over there, Kira, and he's wearing shorts. So look, all right, how about this? We'll get to some of these texts. Thank you for your texts, of course. A lot of them backing up me, but some of them not, which I'm furious about. Anyway.
A lot of them not.
Yeah, all right, listen, Kira was saying, how is it that you men can wear shorts in even the coldest of conditions? And I am
like,
a man who wears shorts all the time.
Now
I
in
love
Ireland.
It, Kira. I love you it, know? And I can't explain it. Well, I think I can, but Kira's just not accepting my explanation, despite I think it being very robust. But let's get to some of these. Yeah, go.
Somebody says, my father goes walking in the morning in shorts, even in this weather.
Good for
somebody
him.
Else says, my son won't wear anything but shorts. He loves the cold. He insists on keeping his bedroom window open all night, even in this weather.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Somebody says, the man in the shorts walking with Kira must be red. Oh, yeah, okay. Red hot.
Walking with... See, Kira, this is really interesting now because you're saying that all of us men who wear shorts are crazy and have terrible judgment. But then, funnily enough, a guy who does that was on a walk with you. So, I mean, listen, what does that say about him? Or about the judgment of the shorts, Kira?
I have no idea. But anyway, somebody else says, I'm with your female presenter. Hi, my name is Kira, by the way.
No, female presenter is nice. I like that. Chris and female presenter. Could we get some jingles done with that? That would be fantastic. All right, sorry. Go ahead, female presenter. Yes.
I can't understand men walking around in the freezing cold on shorts. Looks like they can't afford a pair of long pants. Ooh. Saw a guy recently in shorts and flip-flops. And wait for it, white socks.
Oh,
wow.
No, that's ridiculous. That's outrageous. I'm not
I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's far too far. Kira, do you know what I do now when I'm
Bernie,
wearing the shorts?
Sorry, Chris, very quickly.
Yes,
Bernie Kilkenny wonders, Chris, would you wear shorts if it was snowing?
Bernie, would I wear shorts if it was snowing? Let me tell you something. I think it was November or December. There was a light dusting of snow. I remember one morning that we were coming to work here and I did indeed wear shorts, I remember. And I nearly defiantly wore shorts. I looked out the window. There was a light kind of frosty white dusting. I mean, it wasn't really snow. It wasn't really frost or ice. It was just, you know what I mean? It looked white here and I said, I'm wearing shorts in this just to wear shorts in this. So Bernie, I absolutely would. I'm mad like that. And I absolutely did. Yes. And also, by the way, regarding this gentleman who said he was wearing white socks, Kira, I take my shorts wearing seriously during the winter. Do you know what I do now? And I've even gotten a few extra pairs in because some of the other ones were getting a little raggedy. You know those little ankle socks? I wear those if I'm out and about wearing shorts during any season. Do you know? Not wearing them with big shorts and flip-flops is outrageous. But listen, Kira, has this helped you at all or has this just made things more confusing?
Helpful. I love how you find it outrageous that people wear socks with flip-flops during winter while also wearing shorts, but you don't find the concept of wearing shorts during cold weather out there.
No, I don't.
I guess it's just one of the, you know, we'll add it to one of the many mysteries of the world, Chris.
Do you know what it is, Kira? It's a real example of men be like this and women be like this. You know, I tell you something. Will us genders ever understand each other? I don't think so. But hey, look, listen. Kira, of course, it's great whenever we get a shout out. As Irish people, we basically lose our minds when anyone internationally pays attention to us, Kira. And we're always very excited about it.
We need to stop that.
I agree.
We need to stop that.
Kira, between myself and yourself, I think it makes us look a little extra sometimes. I hear you. Believe me, I hear you on that most of the time. However,
we need to have more self-confidence.
It's terrible how little self-confidence we have, isn't it? When like anything globally mentions Ireland, we're like, oh my God. But anyway, look, Kira, we do have to give props to the president-elect of the United States mentioning us. I mean, that is a big deal, no matter how you spin it. However, you know how, and it's, I don't know how this beef started, Kira, but it has certainly been the case that one gentleman in particular, and this is not some type of shtick, constantly complains, and he's doing it in earnest, that Kira and I's show discriminates against Mayo people because none of the callers Mayo. Radio attracts a certain weird group of people. He is one of them. And he says it with total seriousness. He like texts the show and like has said many times that we exclude people from Mayo and we have every other county on and all of this kind of stuff. So Kira and I have kind of played into it and actually kind of started a feud with Mayo almost, as far as I'm concerned. We're like, yeah, you're right, Texter.
Well,
actually,
you have.
Yeah,
I
we haven't. Don't get people from Mayo on. I'm kind of worried now, Kira, because he has enormous backup. He now has banter from the President of the United States making fun of Galway people and favouring Mayo people. You and I are both from Galway, of course. Joe Biden mentions Mayo. So as far as I'm concerned, you and I are now in, I won't say trouble, but
somebody made a very valid point during the week, and they said that Joe Biden has more Western correspondents, you know, involved in his team than the Irish cabinet do. And I thought that was very true and also very funny.
Do you think he'll be able to get us the regional broadband now? Do you think the mayor of Boston will get the broadband put in, Ciara? He might. Right, hold on. Let's have a listen to this, of course.
Secretary of Labour, I nominated.
This is Joe Biden announcing some stuff. Who cares? The important thing is he mentions Galway and Mayo.
Good friend and a stand-up guy, Marty Walsh of Boston. Yeah. Son of Irish immigrants. From his only downside, they're not from Mayo, they're from Galway.
If you watch that video, Joe Biden starts laughing, right? And you just know about 70 million Americans are like, what's he talking about?
Yeah, what the hell is Mayo and Galway?
That was such an in-joke to Irish people.
But isn't that incredible?
Or to the diaspora that are living and have made their lives over in America, and the immigrants or whatever. But like, I was like, that is such an in-joke. And it probably went over the head of the majority of Americans. But also, the way he pronounces Galway is beautiful.
Yeah, he nails it. Like, as in, he's not doing
There's no Galway.
County Mayo. Yeah, he's very authentic with it. And firstly, it's incredible to see one of the most powerful men in the world has that level of local knowledge of, like, Galway and Mayo and all this. It's unbelievable. But Ciara, it does cause a bit of a problem for you and I. Because you and I were having a great crack, or I was having great crack, baiting that guy from Mayo.
Please don't
drag you into this. I was having great fun baiting Mayo people. They now have the President of the United States on their side.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So if we were to get into this, I think now the Mayo people have a little bit more firepower behind them than I do. So Ciara, I'm going to have to.
They do. And they are going to lord it over us, Chris. So we need to be very careful.
100%. When you have the President of the US making jokes about how Mayo is better than Galway. God almighty.
And also, do you know what, Chris? I thought when Trump got banned off Twitter this week, I thought of you.
Yes.
Because obviously, how many years ago was it that Trump blocked you?
Sorry, 3 years. 3 years ago.
3 years ago, he blocked you. And I personally feel that all these social media accounts that are now, you know, with 2 weeks to go, banning Trump from all these platforms, I think it's a little bit too late, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know, and also you kind of have to think about these big tech firms and how they're making these decisions in the last 2 weeks. I'm all for free speech, okay, but not when it damages or it's dangerous to you know, other human beings or minorities or whatnot. But like, they had the power to do this all along and they didn't. And is it a case of, okay, bye, see you later, you're not president anymore? And also, what's Parler, Chris?
Oh, Parler, basically. So I've looked at Parler and I've looked at the interface of Parler. Parler looks like, for the interface to me anyway, because I saw some screenshots of it, it looks very similar to Twitter, if you understand me.
Yeah.
It's a scrolling feed and you can retweet stuff. Anyone
that's been banned off Twitter is now on Parler, because that also has been taken down by Google and you know, different tech companies as well. Apple, I think.
Yeah, so Parler, yeah, you're dead right. Basically, a lot of people that were banned from Twitter, or that, let's put it this way, want to be able to say things that might get them in trouble on Twitter, have moved to Parler. And Donald Trump, and there is rumors anyway that Donald Trump might open a Parler account and might do his own thing on there, because there will be less regulation. And
so obviously, never in the history of American presidents has, you know, a former president been banned off social media. Now, I know it's fair to say that social media is relatively new, but like, Barack Obama didn't get banned.
No, you know, no other world leader has gotten banned, as far as I'm aware.
Exactly. Yeah. No other world leader. Imagine that.
And there's some crazy world. I think North Korea's government is on Twitter. Do you know what I mean?
Why do you think they did it, though?
Oh, you're dead right.
Like,
I mean,
come
here.
Like, it's a. It feels to me like the big techs are kind of controlling the narrative a little bit.
No, 100%. Look at Ciara. Ciara getting all conspiracy theorist here.
Look at Alex Jones here
on the front line. Ciara, I think what it is you're dead right. Like, not to take what you said as well, but it absolutely is a case of, listen, he only has 2 weeks left. Sure, we'll give him an old ban now. Do you know what I mean? We'll have a bit of crack.
It's too late.
No, I agree with Twitter on this, and I'll tell you why. He was the president of the United States.
Yeah.
You have to let him on there, even if he's insane. You have to let people see what he's saying. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah,
you can't block
the
President of the United States from talking to people on your platform. Like, that's something you can't do either. But
yeah,
I guess
they
eventually made the decision to, you know, Kira, what I'm saying is now with this, we're already off to a rocky start with Joe Biden making fun of Mayo versus Galway. I don't want to be blocked by him as well on Twitter. So I'm going to have to show restraint.
Joe Biden won't block you.
You think?
Leave him alone.
Yeah, I suppose. Don't annoy him. I wasn't leave annoying Trump though either. I thought I was having a funny joke, but I guess not. Chris and Kira, weekends from 11.